I would like to have begun saying the shmooze about 10 minutes ago, because we're pressed for time and we must finish as close to 12:45 as possible, because there's a yeshiva Torah Shraga Mincha Minyan promptly at 12:45 on a daily basis. That the yeshiva, every single individual in the yeshiva is expected to be there. And you'll see what kind of incentives you'll have and there will be for coming to this minyan. I'm starting a new program in the yeshiva that whoever comes to all three minyanim in the yeshiva will receive 100 shekel on a daily basis. You come to Shacharis, pretty much on time. Come to Mincha and daven with the yeshiva, and you come to Maariv. I'm offering 100 shekel per day. Raise your hand if you would come. 100 shekel per day if you come to Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, and yeshiva. Okay? There are apparently a few people that still haven't raised their hands. Apparently, 100, multiple, do the math. Of course, there's been Asmanim, so figure 300 days of the year. So what does that amount to? Very good. 30,000 shekels, I believe, correct? Right? Is that the proper math? Four zeros? 30,000 shekels. 100 times 300 is 30,000. Yeah. Lamaisa, you all just told me that if it was worth 100 shekels per day, you'd all be there. What I'm going to try to tell you in the next few minutes is that coming to Minyanim and Yeshiva, davening b'tzibur is worth that much more. If I'm successful in explaining to you that it is worth more than 100 shekel, so for sure everybody will be there. Let's imagine that you don't buy what I'm saying. Let's just imagine that I can't convince you. Let's say you think I'm wrong. You think I'm 5% wrong, 10% wrong, and you're 90% right. Wouldn't it be worth it to play the risks? Let's say I'm right, that it's worth more than 100 shekels per day. What is it? What do you give up? What kind of major sacrifice are you young men giving up by coming to Minyanim and Yeshiva? Let's talk about Tefillah. Tefillah is an opportunity to connect to the creator of the world, the master of the universe, who is mechadesh b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh b'reishis. He renews the world every single day, and you admit it, because each one of you says it in Birchas Kriyat Shema every morning. You have an opportunity to connect with him through tefillah. You can talk to him. You can show that you recognize that everything comes from him. You can ask, make requests. You can just basically just glow in his presence while you're davening. The Gemara in Brachas that we learned last year says, krum zulos, zolos of bnei adam. Things that are lofty, people disrespect or downgrade. And there are many things that are very lofty and very high, but yet the tendency of man is to downgrade them. And Rashi on the spot says one word. It says tefillah. Tefillah is this prime example of something that's so lofty, so tremendous, yet people downplay it, people downgrade it, people disrespect it. The Gro writes that the same way the Gemara says that anybody called Golden Mechavero, Yisro Golden Mechavero, anybody who is greater than his friend, his Yitzhar is even greater, is true about mitzvahs. The greater power the mitzvah has, the greater the zilzal, the greater the Yitzhar, the greater the disrespect. Tefillah is the type of thing that if you learn a little bit about it and focus a little bit on it, you'll realize how tremendous it is. You have the opportunity to talk to Hashem 3 times a day, and especially with a minyan. Yet what? The way is, okay, I'll daven myself, I'll daven today, I'll daven tomorrow. Krom zolos l'dnei adam. This is something that is so lofty. Even if we don't fully understand it, just go with it. Because that's what the Chazal tell us, that it's packed with power, and we should throw ourselves into tefillah. And for the fact that you see that people are mezalzel in it, people downplay it, that's the proof, that's the raya, that tefillah is special. Let's talk about mincha for a moment. The Gemara in Brachos that we learned last year says, mincha is so special. Why? Because Eliyahu Navi was answered b'shas mincha by Har HaKarmel. So mincha is unique. You can say another pshat in mincha. The Mishnah Rava says, l'fum tzar agra, according to the pain and the difficulty, that's how the reward is measured. There's one tefillah that's most likely the hardest to get into. Shacharis is just starting the day, not much is going on, so you come into Shacharis. Maariv, especially in our yeshiva, it's the end of the day, it's more of a relaxed mode. Mincha is a time, smack in the middle of the day, smack in the middle of the day, you have to run to lunch, you have to run to your business, you're in the middle of this, you're in the middle of that, you're in the middle of so many different things, it's the hardest time to concentrate. If it's the hardest tefillah to concentrate, it's the hardest tefillah to get into, and it's the shortest, even though it's the shortest, it must be, it has the greatest reward inside, packed inside of mincha. And that's why all it takes is what, 13 and a half minutes to have a good mincha, and you'll see the peiros, you'll see the rewards. Let's talk a little bit about tefillah b'tzibur for a moment. The Gemara in Brachos that we learned last year on Zion and Bay says, Amar Rav Yitzchok Rav Nachman, my time alo osi mar lebe kenishta. Why didn't you come to shul today? Let's do it. Daven. Amar le lo yichul. I couldn't. Amar le chufi lemar serve litzli. So grab 10 men, bring them to your house and make a minion. It's so important. Go out of your way to do it. So Amar le trichul imelsa. So he says it's too difficult. The Rishonim say it's too difficult to schlep people to come down with him to the house. He don't want to be matriarch other people. So v'leim leimar l'shluchei the tibura be'idna the matzli tibura leisi l'odiyah. So no problem. You can't come. You don't want to be matriarch people. So tell the shliach tibur in the shul. Tell them to notify you when they're going to start davening, when they're going to hit Shimon answer it, and daven in the house. Tibur is so important that you should go out of your way to make sure that the shliach tibur tells you what time you're davening so that you can daven at the same time. I have to go out of my way to do that. My tefillah to you, Hashem, eis rotzen. Dafka be eis rotzen, the time of supplication, the time when there's rotzen from Hashem. Emesai eis rotzen, b'shash at tzibur mispalin. There's a special uniqueness to the time when the tzibur is davening. That's when you have the most power. So it's kedai to daven in that time period. The Rambam brings this to halacha, and he says, tefillah, it's always heard. Even if there are sinners, even if a person doesn't have, he's not a big mitzvah guy. He has some sins. Nevertheless, in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, always b'tzlos and sharabim. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is never disgusted by the tefillah of the klal. L'fikach, therefore, tzarach adam l'shachet atzmo metzibur. Connect yourself to the group. Connect yourself to the yeshiva, to the shul. V'lo yispal yechidi. Kol zman sheyachol yispal metzibur. Anytime he's able to daven with the group. A person should always get up and go to shul. A tefillah is not always listened to unless it's in a shul. Person doesn't come to shul, he's called a shachin ra. He's not called a regular Joe, he's called a bad neighbor. A bad neighbor. And here we live in a yeshiva where the shul with the bismedrash is footsteps away. It's halacha in the Ramba. Chaim von Lojner writes in Ruach Chaim, Pirkei Avos, which appears in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yigimel. He quotes, he bases this on the pasuk in Tehillim. We know that people in this yeshiva like to sing from the Perek in Tehillim, Kuf Beis, Tzvila L'Ani Kiyatov. So over there in pasuk Yitzchess, pasuk says, Pona El Tzvilas Ha'arar V'lo Boz El Tzvilosom. Hashem turns to the Tzvila of the singular person, the person who's in despair, but he doesn't disregard, he doesn't downgrade the tefillah of the rabbi. So explains Chaim von Lojner, explains the Zohar. If a person davens by himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns this tefillah inside and outside and looks and sees, okay, who's this person who's davening? Who are you? Are you a very chashuv person? Not a chashuv person? And that's going to measure how much power you have in your tefillah. However, V'lo bozo el tefilosu means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never downgrade the tefilos rabbi. If you connect yourself, you call me, you daven the tzibur, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu eases the entrance of such a tefilah, and it's much more miskabel. The Kuzari writes, in Maimer Grimel Osir Tes, that when you daven the tzibur, even if you didn't have kavana in certain parts of the Shemona Esrei, no problem. Why? Because your neighbor next to you, he had kavana. And if he didn't have kavanah, so then the third neighbor had kavanah. Rabbosai, the Rosh Yeshiva davens every day in our minyan for mincha. I don't want to embarrass him, but I assume he has a little bit more kavanah than we do. I'm assuming. Wouldn't it be kedai to go to mincha and yeshiva so we can daven in the same tzibur as Rabbi David? Wouldn't it be kedai to daven with the whole yeshiva, all three tefillahs? Because maybe we didn't have proper kavanah. And perhaps when we connect to our chaver, when we connect to the rest of the day in Shiva, our tefillos will be that much greater, and you'll see it in your lives. So the Yisod Rosh Chodesh Havodah says as well in Shaar Beis, Perek Zayin. And even if a person thinks he's big tzaddik and he has kavanah 100%, he has mamash per tefillah. So that person, according to what we're saying, maybe that person could daven by himself. Yisod Rosh Chodesh Havodah writes, even so, such a person still gets something out of davening b'tzibur. When he davens b'tzibur, it has much more power. The Shulchan Aruch writes, "Ha'holich b'derech v'higiel le'ir." A person is on his way and he goes to the city, comes to a city. He wrote to Lolunba and he wants to sleep there. Even the fun of old Dalad Milin. If he has another 4 milin to go, which a meal is about an 80-minute walk, and I just conferred with Rabbi David before the shmooze, and he said that al pi halacha nowadays we have cars, so such a distance would be what it takes a person to travel 72 minutes. Meaning ahead of you. Meaning, for example, if a person is going to Midbar Yehuda on a tiyur, okay, and you wanted to sleep in, let's say, Yericho, and there's no minyan in Mitzpeh Yericho where you guys stop for shachris, let's just say, no minyan. And the next minyan was 70 minutes away, if it was on your way towards the same destination, so you'd be obligated to travel 72 minutes because anyway you're not losing time, you're anyway going on the way. However, if you're going to have to go out of your way, so then it's only an 18-minute drive. An 18-minute trip, meaning, if let's say you got to Mitzpeh Yericho and the only place to daven was 18, let's say 17 minutes before Mitzpeh Yericho, so then you'd have to go back, you'd have to go daven there. You see the zechiyuv? Okay, it has a gvul, it has a limit. You don't have to travel 73 minutes or 19 minutes backwards, but there's a chiyuv to go ahead and daven b'tzibur. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Igris Moshe, Chilek Beis, Simon Chav Zayin, responds to the following question. Is it Talmud Chacham who says he wants to learn late at night, and we know there's a tremendous Indian to learn late at night. He wants to learn late at night in his town, which is tremendous. Okay, you see the Mishnah Berurah over there when he speaks about the nighttime, how important it is to learn at night. So right to Moshe, the only problem is that I'm going to wake up a little bit late. And in my town, there's only one minyan, and it's quite early. So I'm going to wake up, let's say, an hour or two after the shul davens. But I'll daven bizman, but I'll daven by myself. Says Rav Moshe, and I'm going to quote it for you. Says in Moshe, "Hine les palav asara davening with 10 people who chiyu mitzvah ala adam lo rak hinder umayla ba'ava." It's not just a better thing. Oh, if you want your tefillah to have more power, then down with a minute. But if not, you're okay. No, it's not a mayla ba'alma. Mechuyev leilach adal milin. You have to go 72 minutes forward to shul v'fanu b'holak b'derech. Gam mechuyev lamsal akhav ad mil v'nisav kain shulchan ar. See, you have to work hard, meaning you have to go at least 18 minutes backwards, out of your way, or 72 minutes on your way. It's a chiyuv. It's not just a good thing to do. It's a chiyuv, says Rav Moshe. The Mishnah Berurah writes, in terms of tefillah mitzibur, he brings down a story from the Av Beis Din of Hamburg. He's in Talis in tefillin, and he's on his way to shul one morning. And a businessman comes over to him and he says to him, "I have pearls and diamonds that I want to sell you, and you'll make a tremendous profit. Tremendous profit." He says, "I'm sorry, I have to go to Tefillah B'tzibur." And he goes to shul, and afterwards he finds out that somebody did buy those pearls and diamonds, and somebody made a tremendous fortune on it. And the businessman from Hamburg came out with a huge smile. He wasn't distraught, he was so happy. Why? Because he was able to give up a rebbe, he was able to give up a tremendous profit. Why? Just for Tefillah B'tzibur. And you'll ask me, aye, but he had to daven anyway. Meaning, even if he would have stopped and bought the pearls and bought the diamonds, then anyway he wouldn't have been able to daven then. You're not allowed to do business until you daven. So Mishnah Berurah says, no. What would he have done? Once the person told him, okay, I have a business deal for you, right away, of course, he would daven. He would never do business before davening. He would daven on the spot. He wouldn't go to shul, daven with Tzibur, and he'd make the money. You see from here the halacha, and Mishnah Berurah paskins this the halacha, that you're not allowed to go for a profit in order to and miss Tefillah B'tzibur. However, there is a rule, there is a limit. Tefillah B'tzibur you're not obligated to go to Tefillah B'tzibur if you're going to lose money. If you're going to lose money, so then you can daven by yourself. But if it's just to increase your profit, increase your wealth, that has a rule. That stops. You don't have to do that. There are other marmakomos that that I'd like to go through, but right now it doesn't seem like we have the time. Lamaisa, Tefillah B'tzibur is huge. And what are we going to do? We're just going to throw it away because we need to go to lunch a few minutes earlier. We like to stay in the dorm at 7:55 in the evening or 8 o'clock in the evening. Why? Because I don't know, another 10 minutes in the dorm, it's going to make my life so much greater. And another 20 minutes or half hour, even an hour of sleep in the morning is going to make your life much greater. I want to tell you two stories that I just read recently. I've been trying to make this as fast as possible because otherwise it's stira. I've been telling you to come to 12:45 minutes in the yeshiva, and yet here I am making you late, so I'm going to try my best. The story is about a non-Jewish woman who's dating a Jewish secular fellow in Yerushalayim who owns a treif restaurant. And she's interested in Judaism, she wants to convert. But the people, the Baruch Hashem, she went to the halacha, people who are involved in halacha conversions, and they said, listen, we're not going to convert you because we know you're going to go ahead and you're going to marry this guy and you're not going to be from. So she said, okay, so what's my etzah? They said, okay, if you can make him a Baal Tshuva, if you can make this guy, this secular fellow in Yerushalayim, if you can make him from, still convert you. Okay. So she signs up for an Arachim Kiruv seminar. And they ask her, so are you Jewish? She says, no. I says, all right, we don't do that. We don't convince non-Jews to be Jewish. We can't help you. And she breaks down in tears. And she says, what am I going to do? I want to marry this fellow, but they won't let me convert, so then he's not going to marry me. I'm devastated. So they asked the Gadol. And the Gadol said that even though it's really not really supposed to teach a Goy Torah, in this case, if they wouldn't teach a Torah, so then there would be an intermarriage that would take place. Therefore, they were matir, they allowed this woman to attend the Arachim seminar. So she attended. But her boyfriend spent the whole week of sessions in the lobby. And as the week went by, she got more and more into it. But as she got into it, she got more and more distressed, knowing that as great as Judaism is, she was not going to be able to convert because her bummy boyfriend was in the lobby the whole week and not getting into it. On the very last day by the final symposium, she got up on stage. I am not Jewish, she declared, and burst into tears. And I have been making such an effort to become a member of your people. I have been humiliated, faced all sorts of problems, and I'm still paying a heavy price, just to get one step closer to touching the incredible treasure of Judaism. And you Jews sit here and need to have people beg you to pay attention to the fact that you're Jewish? I don't understand you. Aren't you ashamed of yourselves? You have the audacity to try to disprove the whole thing? What's going on with you? You should be thrilled that you're Jewish. Look what I'm willing to go through just to get what you already have. People were dumbstruck. Nobody moved a muscle. Suddenly, the young man walked up to the stage. I'm ashamed, said the man, who had not attended a single lecture. I'm genuinely ashamed, and I'm committing right now to becoming completely chozer b'tshuva. The standing ovation went on and on. The audience was crying. Today, the young lady runs a beautiful Jewish home, and she and her husband help other families, too. Let me tell you another story. Aaron Leib Bergman was born in 1934, and he figured he'll learn the Aleph in a few years at the Lamed, and he'll go on to the yeshiva in Europe, and everything will be great. But what happened was that through the war, when he was about 5 years old, he watched his parents being executed by the Nazis. In 1945, through Ashkocha Protis, he came to Ellis Island, all alone. He found a family to take him in. And for the next 2 years, he hopped from yeshiva to yeshiva trying to get in. But nobody wanted to accept him. He was a 13-year-old boy with no background in Torah. How could they accept a boy like that? 13-year-old boy, they're going to put him in a class with 13-year-olds, he's well behind them. And they're not going to put him in a kindergarten to start him off. He tries one last yeshiva. Yeshiva Torah Stein. As he walked down the corridors of the yeshiva, the sounds of children learning reverberated in his ears. The feeling was bittersweet. This was the atmosphere that he wanted to be a part of, but had been denied him. Tentatively, yet still hopefully, he walked into the office of the principal, Rabbi Krupnik, and sat down. This is it. I'm going to be accepted into the yeshiva. But just as his hopes had escalated, Rabbi Krupnik's next words sent him crashing back down to the brutal reality. I'm so sorry, Aaron Leib. We have nowhere to place a 13-year-old boy who doesn't know how to learn Chumash. Aaron Leib looked at him, and tears formed in his eyes. The resentment and disappointment that had built up inside of him spiraled to a crescendo. All the pain and hurt came crashing forth. All right, Rabbi Krupnik, it's fine. You don't have to accept me into yeshiva. But I just have one small favor to ask. Can you please write me a note stating that I came to your door to learn Torah, and you told me that a 13-year-old sitting with kindergarten children is ludicrous? And please make sure that when I die, the Chevra Kadisha buries me with that note in my hand. I just want to be able to tell Hashem that I tried my best. In a flash, Rabbi Krupnik realized how wrong he had been and how the system had failed this young broken boy. He rushed over to Aaron Leib, held him close, and let him cry his heart out. The very next day, Aaron Leib sat in a classroom with boys almost a decade younger and sang joyfully as they learned together Bereishis Bara Elokim. And 46 years later, Rabbi Aaron Leib Bergman is still teaching Torah to young men in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Isai, we have it all. We're Jewish. We're in yeshiva. We're in Yerushalayim. We have a golden opportunity to take advantage of that opportunity. How can we not wake up and chop around, take advantage of these months? In the previous years, you were young and in high school and there were distractions. In the future, you're going to have a dual curriculum, you're going to have families, you're going to have jobs. This is the year. We should be ashamed of ourselves if we even waste one tefillah. Look at Rabbi Arlen Bergman. Nobody will write you a note. Nobody will write anybody in this room a note, because not only do we accept you, we're giving you everything. Shiurim, rabbeim, tefillos, bed, food. How can we not take advantage and soar? I just read recently that there was a dibuk in Europe inside of a woman, and Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman came and said, "My Rebbe says, get out." And the dibuk left the woman instantaneously. And Rakatsky Levenstein, who was there, said that there were people there that weren't from before the Maisa and they weren't from afterwards. As much as they saw Yad Hashem, Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman saying, "Dibuk, get out in the name of my Rebbe," as much as they saw that Yad Hashem, didn't move them. We can hear our shmooze from here till tomorrow, but unless we make a commitment and we decide to change, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to happen. I'm making just a small request. Maybe, 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 each person should talk to himself and tell himself, you know what? I can't learn all day. I can't come to every tefillah. Fine. Start with mincha. It's 13 and a half minutes with the yeshiva. I know there's a 245 minyan, but that's not the yeshiva's minyan. From now on, for the next 4 months, I'm making a recommendation. Talk to yourselves. Say, you know what, maybe I'll try it. What do I have to lose? What do you have to lose? A few minutes of eating? A few minutes of your break? Perhaps we should take it upon ourselves. 12:45 minutes in the yeshiva. And maybe, maybe, that will impact, minchul will impact the chakras, and minchul will impact your ma'arav, and minchul will affect your learning before, and your learning afterwards, and your days will be affected, and your weeks, and your months, and your years. And mirza shem your whole lives. Mm-hmm.